Good morning and welcome back to Nachyon. Today we're going to be looking at Hoshea Perek Tes, the ninth chapter of Sefer Hoshea. This now moves from the warnings, from the rebuke, which has been talking to up till now, and we now move into actual punishment, into actual galus. So let's try and understand what's going on over here. We're told the first section of the Perek, which is the first half of it, which runs from Pasuk Aleph to Tes, about what this galus would look like. Al tismach Israel el gil ka'amim, don't rejoice like the nations, because you will be caught up in your sins, because you left HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in this section, there seems to be a lot of wordplay or imagery relating to the actual produce of the lands. So sort of like you're looking for riches, you're looking for sustenance, and that's going to be taken away from you. And so in this, some of the things that are being told, that the nation of Israel being told, is that they'll no longer be able to bring in their produce, they'll no longer be able to bring the korbanos they need. And on the day of the festival, on the day of the festival of Hashem, what will you do? You'll be lost, because the foreign lands will consume you, they'll take you, your energy, and your money. At the end of the section, we're told that we also hear about the terrible attitude Israel had to those who reprimanded her. That in Pasuk Zion we're told that on the day of the reckoning, you'll see the prophets as fools. You'll see all these peoples as meshuga, as crazy. So what's going on in this section, just to understand this? What does it mean at the beginning? Let's focus on a few psukim, Pasuk Aleph. What does it mean that we are not allowed? Al tismach Israel el gil ko'amim, not to sort of rejoice among the nations. So the Gemara in Gittin, on a Dav Zayin Aleph, actually tells us a halacha, that they sent a letter to Mar Ukva, that Zimra mina lon de osir. So how do we know that we can't sing today in a post-Migdash reality? And it's learned from this pasuk of Al tismach Yisrael el gil bo'amim, that we're not allowed to rejoice among the other nations. Ko'amim or bo'amim, different texts, yeah. It is interesting to note that this is actually a halacha, which is codified, which means to say that technically speaking, we're not supposed to be rejoicing fully. We're not supposed to have unbounded, unfettered rejoicing. And in fact, in the Shulchan Aruch, music itself is asur. However, it has now reached the point of practice where there's certain times in the year where music is specifically not allowed, but it's actually an expression of this immediate halacha. So in the 3 weeks during the times of Sfira, when we know that music is asur, that's actually really a condensing of this particular halacha learned from Moshe, because there's something so significant missing in our lives. The Chidah adds on, interestingly enough, as a mefarish over here, that what it could mean over here is that we don't rejoice among the nations, meaning on their festivals, those festivals are not our festivals. But also can mean to say that we don't rejoice in a society of hefkerus, in a society without bounds. We don't rejoice in entertainment, we don't rejoice in convenience, we rejoice in avodas Hashem, in serving Hashem, and therefore we're completely different to them. Perhaps another way of looking at this. At the end of that first pasuk, there is also another note worth taking, which is, Ahavta esnan al kol granos dagon. You love the esnan by all the granaries. The esnan is actually the term used by the Torah to describe the wages given to a prostitute. That means to say that for the services offered, a person would bring an esnan. An esnan could mean an animal, or something in the form of payment. So in this case, what Yehoshua is essentially saying is, your esnan, what you are taking, what you are ultimately taking for your infidelity with all the nations around you, was in fact the grains, meaning to say you thought you would get sustenance and prosperity and security from the nations around you, but ultimately it was all for naught. Another pasuk just to focus on in this section, which is very fascinating, is pasuk Hey, where Hashem says Ma ta'asu liyom moed. What are you going to do on the day of the festival? So what is this referring to? Very interestingly over here, where the Malbim says that this is referring to either the festival of the non-Jews, which we were just told beforehand that we can't celebrate on, or our festivals in Golos, which are imperfect. We can't bring the Karbanos, we can't celebrate them fully as they should be in the land of Israel, because all we're left with on Pesach is the Seder and the Matzah. But we don't have the Korban Pesach. We don't have the mainstay. On Yom Kippur, we don't have the Avodah. We just simply have the fasting. That's, you know, there's so much of a diminishing of what it could have been. That's what's being emphasized over here. Whereas Rashi says, on a more powerful note, he says that, no, what's the Yom HaMo'ed, the day of festival? It doesn't mean to say a celebration. It means the day that it was set aside. It's the day of reckoning. What are you going to do when ultimately the punishment comes? Up till now, you haven't listened. Up till now, you kept on pretending, oh, it's all going to be all right. What's going to happen when it comes? Last question just to think about in this little section, and that is at the end it talks about how they look at the prophets as fools. But why do they look at them as fools when it comes to the day of reckoning? Surely that should actually emphasize the fact that they need to be more careful. So why over here are they thinking the most? The Malbim explains that it is looking back. Once you know what really happens on the day of reckoning, you'll feel so regretful about the fact that you treated all these prophets so horrendously. You hunted them, you mocked them, because now they're vindicated. Now it's true, now you see what really happens. Let's move on to the second and last section of this perek, which is from Pasuk Yud to Yud Zayin. And the general overview over here is looking back at the past. It's a beautiful historical survey, but a very chilling one, where Hashem turns back and says, at the beginning, you were to me, Ka'anovim Babilbar Matzasi Yisrael. You were like these grapes in the desert, as the Mitzudos points out. So beautiful. You're in the desert. You don't have too much to eat. It's dry. You find grapes. You know, today in Mitzpe Ramon, there's a vineyard. There's a winery there. They're remarkable. Imagine you find grapes in the desert. What a remarkable thing. So you now feel, oh wow, that's how beautiful you were to me. That's how I saw your fathers, says Hashem. But then you know what happened? Then you came to Baal Peor. It's about to enter the land of Israel. They came to the plains of Moab, and then the daughters of Moab and Midian came and seduced them and introduced them to Avodah Zarah. And that became the beginning point where you kept on rejecting me. You kept on finding other powers that you wanted to serve in the world. And it describes how because Ephraim was so adherent to following Avodah Zarah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I'm going to make sure that everything of theirs is going to be chopped down. Ki im yagadlu es b'nehem v'shikaltim me'adam. If you're going to have children, I'm going to cut them down. And every part of your nation is going to be, even if they grow up, they're going to be killed. And at this point in time, Moshe sort of interjects and says, "Tain lahem Hashem mati tain lahem rechem askil shadayim somkim. Give them what you ought to give them. Give them perhaps a womb which doesn't yield. What is it? Don't let them have children. It's better not to have children for them to be killed." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "No, I'm sorry. I hate them because of their actions, and I'm going to have to chase them out of my house. I'm not going to keep them anymore." And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, everything of Ephraim will be destroyed. I'll kill their children. And most chillingly, Hashem ends the parak by saying, Hashem hates them or despises them because they didn't listen to him, and they will be floaters among the nations. Very, very heavy prophecy over here. And what seems to be going on in the conversation over here, as the Malbim points out, is that Hoshea says, look, at least treat them with midah keneged midah. At least say, you know what, those who sinned, or the children of those who sinned, or came out of these complicated relationships, the product of their mischief, the product of their misbehavior, deal with that, but don't destroy all of them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is, I'm sorry, that ultimately, in the end of the day, they all were pretty bad, and therefore there has to be this response. One way to perhaps make it a little lighter, in terms of this very, very heavy prophecy over here, is taking the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is extending Hester upon him, which doesn't mean to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is killing directly, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removing his hashkacha, his blanket of protection. And in the absence of his blanket of protection, what we call a place of hester upon him, of hiddenness of Hashem's face, then terrible things can happen. Not that terrible things always happen, but yes, when they are going to be despised by Hashem and floating among the nations, then yes, they will be in the flotsam and jetsam of cause and effect in the world, and there are many casualties to that, which is what Hashem seems to be promising. A very chilling response, but remember that the people in Israel are listening to this now and they're still not adhering to it. They're still not changing their lives. That's how far it goes. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.